Happy New Year, everybody. This is Schmitty, and Talking Schmidt is back. First episode of 2024, and we got a good one for you today. It's Hansi Driscoll reporting in from Grass Valley with a sidekick that I got, my homie from across the bay, Antonio Stincho. You might know him as Toad. We're going to talk to Hansi and get caught up on what's been going on up in the gold country. I'd like to say a couple things before we get started, though. I've been thinking about this long and hard, and you know, every year we try to improve upon things, make things a better place, try to do things good for you all, and maybe do something good for me as well. You know how it goes. Anyhow, I am looking for contributors. If you want to send me a soundbite idea or any type of regular theme ideas, like the first impression, but I don't want the idea. I want you to execute it and then send it to me like a test pilot sort of thing. If I'm down and you can provide 12 of them in a year, we're good to go. McKinney loves the first impression, but he loves for me to round it all up and get it all sorted. That takes more time out of my already busy life. So what I'm trying to do is get some help here in 2024. My executive director is in the works with a Patreon page that could be hitting soon if we are happy with it. I'm not exactly sure what all that means, but people have told me that we should have a Patreon page.
What the fuck is that?
Graphic designers, where are you?
Bruh, I need that.
If you want to give me a New Year's present by creating a new Talking Schmidt intro animation graphic to replace the current one, I think it's time for a change, and I would love to see what you guys got out there.
The turbulence of like, wow.
All this information you can send me to talkingschmidt@gmail.com. And we can get a conversation started. I'm also on the gram, Instagram, Talking Schmidt. And yeah, those are probably the two best ways, unless you want to jump on X and see what I say about baseball, but you probably don't care about that.
What's wrong with you?
So 2024, the plan is to continue what we've been doing, to find people that I haven't interviewed yet and get them on the show and maybe revisit some old friends that you have heard. Big shout out to all of you that helped me get rid of my inventory at the end of the year.
Shout out.
Big shout out to the skate shops that have supported me.
Shout out.
Big shout out to Reno too.
Shout out.
I just want to say shout out, Classic Skate Shop. Thank you for always having my show on YouTube video style in your shop and sending me a little blurb. Those things, man, that's why I keep going. I gotta be honest, like, I love the fact that a skate shop has our podcast up for kids to come in and just peep it and see what's going on.
Oh fuck, it's finally here.
I've already stated a million times, skate shops, I back 100,000,000%. And when they're backing me, I feel like I'm doing something right. So I appreciate y'all. Hey, Blood Wizard's been supporting Talking Schmidt since day one. Antonius is my friend. Justin Visser is my friend. These guys run Blood Wizard. Mammy was on the program. But here's a call to action. Let's get some Blood Wizards on the show. Hey, also want to give a shout out to Grant Taylor, GT, maybe the best there ever was, is, and will ever be. Homie sent me a big package of stickers. I was hyped. You know how much I like stickers. I got his dad's Thomas Taylor sticker up immediately, and I'm thinking about trying to get a different backdrop or add to it and stuff. 2024, kids, this is a lot of brainwaves are getting used on this. Maybe it's all that magic mind I'm drinking. Who knows?
You just influenced somebody.
Hey, one last thing. This is a two-part episode. We're going to start doing two-part episodes this year for anything that's an hour and a half or longer. So we kind of keep the formula 45 minutes to an hour for episodes.
When you bring it,
You got to sing it.
Talking Schmidt listeners, you have sent in your clips. I've edited them. Shane Mednich, the SM Project, has provided the soundtrack. But this weekend, I will be premiering Old Dogs New Year.
You mean no comprende.
You're not going to want to miss this. Saturday morning, before your cartoons and after your breakfast, sip some coffee. It's Old Dogs New Year. And that's all I got for you today. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk soon. Peace. That's it for now. I think we'll get back to you next week. But hey, as a reminder, all our merchandise is gone, but you can still buy me a cup of coffee and get a shout out in the morning with my Phil's coffee. And there's still some Koi de Candleschmidt buttons left, probably 10. And you can still buy a tree for your mirror so your car won't smell, like the Beastie Boy said, except for instead of a tree, I got Honeybee. That's right. My dog. So yeah, we're gonna keep going, we're gonna keep it rolling, and always down for you guys reaching out and telling me what you like, what you would like to see more of or hear more of, and all that. So talkingschmidt@gmail.com, and shout out to Reno.
Shout out.
Yes, this is Hansi Driscoll and you're listening to Talking Schmidt.
Hey,
Talking Schmidt.
I'm already not watching.
It's cool, like tonight is the night.
Damn, this is like the coolest thing I'm ever gonna do.
I wouldn't say it was fun.
What do you mean, bro? Christian Fletcher's younger brother.
Fuck the Dodgers.
Our big dog's in. What do you think, Dolan?
John? Schmidt?
Talking Schmidt.
Alpha Macaroni.
Most of these guys, their opinion don't matter.
Talking Schmidt, right?
It's skateboarding.
I remember that.
Talking Schmidt.
What are Yuns doing?
Holy shit.
Skateboarding homies.
No, Schmidt, you can't jump in.
What is happening?
I'm here for Greg Smith. Yay!
Gregory.
Yes, we are.
Wi-Fi check one, Wi-Fi check two.
All right, guess what? It's 2024. It's January. And I got two guys that grew up together up in the hills, Lake of the Pines, Grass Valley, Nevada City, Auburn, Cardiel, Sen. We're going to talk about it all today. Adrenaline Skateboards, you might have heard of it. I got Toad sitting in with me, and today's focus is going to be on Hansi Driscoll.
Hell yeah.
Hansi, how are you?
Doing good. Thank you. Thank you for doing this. This is awesome. Honestly, thank you both.
Yeah.
Thank you, Toad. Yeah. Too. Thank you so much.
Toad was telling me about, I didn't even know there's a place called Morning Sun, and that's kind of where you started, or no?
Yep. My family built a multi-purpose tiny tennis court, like the size of like a third of a tennis court. Is it wiffle ball? The round balls that have holes in them. They would do, it's yeah. not like tennis. Yeah. Wiffle ball. And they had a basketball hoop and stuff. And my stepdad, my dad here in Grass Valley side, I was just went nuts about skating, like how most of us did. Just, it was just an instant true love. And so I was like, I had all the Thrashers and the pictures on the wall. And this is when Thrasher did the ramp plans. You could order the ramp Thrasher. And we bought the 5 foot quarter pipe. And that quarter pipe went to vert. And it was 5 foot with just the perfect, Yeah, and so it all started with this. And it was 4 feet wide.
But what? Why were you even thinking skateboarding at that moment? Like, what drew you to like skateboarding? Like, how were you thinking that?
So my stepdad's uncle was doing a surf shop in Santa Rosa called Surf Plus.
Wow!
And he started carrying. Yeah, and he started carrying skateboards. And 1 year Christmas or something, Easter, he did his annual visit to Grass Valley and he brought a skateboard. And I just freaked out, like everything about it. I was just like so stoked. and our pool was being worked on at the time, and like he tried to skate our pool, but it was too steep a transition.
No,
and I was like, when he took off, I was just like butt boarding and just like just freaked out, just wanting to roll on it and stuff. And I launched that thing into the deep end in the water. And he was like super bummed, and I was just like, didn't even understand that skateboards can't get wet. I didn't know anything. I was just like,
you're stoked. Like how old? Like around 8 or so? Like how old are you?
10.
10? Wow. Okay, so I didn't mean to cut you off, but so your parents build this tennis court place and you order a ramp from the Thrasher ramp plans and you could take it from there. Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome because it ended up being like that ramp stuck out through my whole time of having all these different ramps. And I built a mini ramp. Then I built a mini spine ramp that was 2.5 feet tall. And I had heated sessions with Chris Sin and Cardiel. And, but at this ramp, my family is construction workers. So he ordered this thing and he made it with me. So like that was part of the ramp plans, was like having me, you know, we bought the wood and then we did the this and that. And, that thing was awesome. It was awesome. We ended up building a full street course with like a little street handrail, which was like way ahead of its time. And, boards had shape and it was just launch ramps. And,
I talked to Cardiel and he said you basically had jump ramps everywhere.
Yes. Yeah. And then some of them were too crazy, so we'd build a deck, and it'd be like some wacky type of quarter pipe.
Okay.
Dude, that 5 foot ramp was seriously so gnarly. It was 5 feet, went to vert, 4 feet wide. Ponzi did all sorts of tricks on it. He could do rock and rolls when I met him. Like, and I was just learning how to skate. He was like sixth grade doing rock and rolls on it. Like, it was gnarly. It was crazy.
What else is going on up there at this time? Are you guys getting into rivers and hiking and doing jumps into water and stuff? Or like what kind of other things are you doing that's kind of like kid stuff, daredevil-y or BMXing or whatever?
Yeah, all the above. You're exactly right. All the above, just total country, you know, doing that, just the rivers. And I had a BMX, but Toad and Cardiel were really good at BMX. So I like kept up when I lived in Lake of the Pines later on, when we became like close friends during around high school time. It was a good time. My friend Gabe Copeland actually messaged me recently talking about the old ramp setup. And he said, we were laughing about how parks are available for the kids growing up these days. And then he said that, if it wasn't for me building ramps, we would have never even known how to skate transition back then.
Yeah, I mean, like that's something that kids take for granted now. But when we grew up, like if you knew somebody that had a ramp, you were their friend because there wasn't a lot of ramps or tranny, and skate parks kind of died like at a certain thing. And then it was just basically, like you said, building little jump ramps and stuff. But like to have actually tranny to coping and stuff was not super common for people to have the ability to learn on.
Yeah, absolutely. And it funneled all the skaters into certain spots. Like there's tons of spots now, but if there was only like three ramps in town, the sessions would be really awesome.
Yeah. There's
our friend, I'm not sure if you know about the Beeble Bowl, the Clover Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had a mini ramp.
Okay.
It was like the only other mini ramp in town, basically. That thing was awesome. That thing was awesome.
Was one of those mini ramps the one with an extension that John skating in the Dogtown video and doing like the crossbone?
Oh my God. Was the Auburn ramp. That ramp was insane. Garrett's ramp. That thing was so awesome. It was like
it was 32 feet wide.
Yeah, it looks so sick.
It moved up with too big of transition, so it was built kind of technically wrong, but it made it super fun because I mean you had had this big like woo, like long transition thing, and it was really mellow at the top still.
Mm.
I think it was 10-foot tranny with like 7-foot tall. Yeah. With an
eight foot. Was funny, dude. It was funny, but you could really like learn stuff and get away with more because you didn't have to come all crazy.
Yeah, it wasn't too tight.
Yes, it wasn't tight at all.
How like did a nose blunt on it or something, Hans? I can't remember, but
yeah, I got some stuff.
Rad. Well, how would you compare like John and Chris at the early age? Like what kind of kids were they, like meeting them and like seeing them in the early stages?
It was always absolutely incredible. Just completely a different level than everyone else. Just 100% always. And it was really funny because they were from two sides of the spectrum of like the skate scene at the time. Like Chris Sin was clean cut pal during the sponsor time.
Right.
And Carl was Dogtown, dude. And it was chain wallets and he was chewing.
Yep.
Was Black Sabbath suicidal tendencies.
Yeah.
And we had different skate groups. And we're in the same town, but we're in a different 15 minutes different. And when you're a kid, you know, you stick to your groups because people aren't driving as much. So we had our like skate group, and then Grass Valley had its kind of skate group.
Okay.
I think they were sober at the time too, or they were straight edge.
Chris.
Yeah. Chris and like the whole crew. I think Salmon was in that crew. Like
maybe
all those guys, they were all straight edge.
Yeah. And they're kind of wearing it like, they're like straight edge. We're straight edge. Like we were coming from a wild, you know, walk on the wild side.
Okay. And since you guys are up in the mountains, are you like the minute snowboarding comes out, are you on it? Like, are you doing some of the earlier snowboarding than before they it actually were. Gets? Yeah.
And I played with it too. I had a lot of fun with it. It was awesome.
Because you're only like, what, 45 minutes away from... Right.
Absolutely. But Toad and John really were just exceptional snowboarders and loved it and kicked butt. I remember Toad getting out of high school and hitchhiking.
Yeah, Toad.
Well, there was like always groups that were going. So I'm not sure if it was technically hitchhiking or maybe just asking friends at high school.
We used to all hitchhike a lot, though. Remember we'd hitchhike to Grass Valley to go skate. We'd go link up with like Chris, like we'd go to like Beeble's ramp and then Chris would be there. It'd be like Hansi, John and I, we'd hitchhike together and we'd have to like watch out for our parents in case our parents were driving up the freeway. We'd be like, you have to pull your thumb down and be like, whoa, we're not hitchhiking. Remember that shit, Hans? Like it was kind of sketchy. If our parents caught us hitchhiking, they would have been so pissed.
Yes. I was driving up Cascade Shores the other day past where Beeble's was. And do you remember the day where when you, John, and I hitchhiked to Eric Biebelheimer's, and then we had to walk from Nevada City up there, and there was that pipe that went across. Okay, there was the driveway, and then there's a ditch, and then there's this thick, round pipe that went across the creek. And Cardiel, and this is like bigger wheels days, and Cardiel comes down the hill. He's like, oh, hike! There's this big pipe went across the creek. And Cardiel barged into the dirt and ground across the pipe over the creek.
Sick. I bet there was all kinds of shit like that just going on. Because I figure like in those early days, I just remember seeing like dudes doing gainers out of like some crazy, like a tree or something into a river. Like people are just like going for it in a way that like, cause I grew up in the suburbs. So like that kind of stuff was kind of foreign to me. So seeing like that kind of shit always was like, oh, that probably mentality is like, of course you're going to skateboard. Like you're like just already wilding out and you're on a bike and all those things. Speaking of wilding out, it's a brand new year and I got some goals. Do more and stress less. My posse is called the No Stress Express. And what's got me staying focused is Magic Mind. Are you like me and sometimes have a hard time finishing things you start or feeling overwhelmed with multiple tasks? Magic Mind may just be your solution. Check this out. Starting out the new year, my friends over at Magic Mind have come up with a January offer to help you get your goals started properly focused. Someone hit me up on Instagram today asking me how to get a deal, and here's what I told him, and I'm telling you. For the entire month of January, you can get 1 month free of these Magic Mind elixirs when you subscribe for 3 months. Go to www.magicmind.com/Jan, as in January, Schmidt, S-C-H-M-I-T. So that's J-A-N-S-C-H-M-I-T. And with my code, Schmidt20, you're going to get an extra 20% off, which gets your grand total to a whopping 75% off. Again, this only lasts until the end of January, so hurry up before it goes away. That's magicmind.com/Jan Schmidt with the code Schmidt20. Get yours today and be prepared to have your mind on some magic and some magic on your mind.
Your ping pong game may drastically be improved.
How does the origin story go for Adrenaline? Like, who do you meet and how does it kind of, the idea come along?
Well, Chris really lightened up. Like, when he was younger, he was like on Powell and he was kind of like Toad said, they were kind of like...
He was competitive.
He was competitive and he was like... I love Chris so much. He is such an incredible artist, and his art, it just translates to everything he does, including his skateboarding. It's just absolutely incredible. And he really lightened up, man. He like, his whole vibe changed. And then like, so we started skating more, and he just asked me one day, we were really skating and I was like getting stuff from Venture and I rode for Race Wheels and I was starting to get in the mix. And I was Chris's pick and Struvian was Jai's pick. And that was pretty much how it started, basically.
Okay, so that's what I heard and I didn't want to even say it. I wanted to hear you say it. But so basically, Sen and Jaya, were they, did it start at High Speed? I mean, with Fausto? Yeah. Did Fausto like give them the opportunity or how did, do you know?
Not sure. I think it was through Think, but yeah. I'm not sure.
And so it was Jaya and Chris starting a company, and the formula was, we're each going to pick an AM.
I think so, yes. And they wanted to start something fresh, obviously. And they're both such great people that I think they wanted to represent on people from that they knew from skating all the time.
So at first, is it just you four?
I think Noah Slaznik and Roger Sellinger.
Okay, because... I never knew Noah was a part of it.
Me either. Yeah. I'm tripping.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that was the original, you know, right when it started. Absolutely right when it started.
Okay.
Because those guys both kind of like, you know, were busy doing other things or so. I'm not sure, but, we kind of needed the like, hardcore skaters that are being in the Thrasher videos and getting the stuff for Slap Magazine and Thrasher. So
what was there any early, like, did you guys go on any trip together or anything like when it's first starting out? Or like, do you remember like, I don't know, some like demo or something you guys went to or anything where it's like you felt some camaraderie as like we're Adrenaline?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I was hanging out with Chris a lot.
Okay.
And he had a house down Terraval with Rico Castro.
Rico?
Shout out.
Yeah. And so I was driving down from high school and just going there as much as I could on the weekends and staying with Chris and Rico. And we were just having the best time, man. A bunch of Grass Valley small town guys that were now living in the city. So we were just stoked to skate everything, dude. Every little bank, every just whatever, dude. It was all awesome to us, you know.
Was this before Sick Boys?
No, Sick Boys was Toad and I loved Sick Boys when we were
we all did, right? It was like
so good.
NorCal, you know, like
Hansi owned it. So I would go up to Hansi's house to watch it. Like, dude, we gotta watch that video again.
Yeah. Dude, well, one time Toad was staying over and it started raining. So we just put down Masonite in my room. And there's like a chest, like a opening chest to like put your shoes in or something. And we set that thing up and we're just doing ollie axle stalls in my little room.
Nice.
Yeah.
The reason I brought up Sick Boys is because McIntyre made that video, but I think he was inspired by Going Off, which was kind of Jaya's version of Sick Boys.
And awesome. So,
you know what I mean? It was like all Super 8 and filmed kind of similar, and Jaya just killed every spot in Santa Cruz. Knew Jaya real well. It'd be cool to hear some Jaya stories for sure. Jaya, if you don't know, like I can't imagine someone listening to this podcast right now that doesn't know that Jaya was an amazing human being, an amazing photographer. He was kind of like Chris, where it's like everything he did, he excelled at it.
He was so special, such a special soul, unique, incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that movie Going Off, like the stuff he does in that video is insane. And it looks like it's all done in one day or something too.
Yeah.
Like, how did he do all that in one day? Back then, in like the, I don't know, mid, late 80s, just unreal. I think he was embarrassed by it.
Oh, really?
I think so, because I remember he had it at his house, at your house one time, and we put it on, and he was all, no.
Oh, wow, that's funny.
Because I'd never seen it.
He was pretty humble, like kind of like quiet a little bit, to the point where I kind of thought he didn't like me first, because I would see him all the time, but you would kind of get this like, kind of, okay, hey, like, maybe he doesn't like me. And then we got to be friends. I was like, dude, I used to think you hated me or something, you know? But, dude, we would see him at the San Jose warehouse all the time with, what's his name? The other Noah, the photographer guy from
Martineau.
Yeah, Noah Martineau. And those guys would be hanging out and stuff. Around that time, is that when you moved to Santa Rosa, or did you move to Santa Rosa later?
I moved to Santa Rosa later. They were at Terrible, and I went up to Santa Rosa right out of high school. I mean, just literally like the first week I was out of high
school. Is that because your uncle lived there?
Yeah, and because I started those guys became some of my best friends instantly. Grass Valley had its, we had our skate crew, but in Santa Rosa, a big part of them were already sponsored and doing it. And John Miner's filming the whole time. John Miner's always been a filmer.
Yeah.
And Brian Gaberman and Charlie Watts and Joel Price.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and also Sean Delinsky. Sean Delinsky lived in Santa Rosa, and he was really would help me out a lot. I mean, he would have spots lined up for me.
He shot photos.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so that was a big rush to be able to like take pictures and have potential to be in the magazine. So.
Uh-huh. Yeah, when that skate park was there, we used to go up there, and that's when we started meeting them. And of course, Joel skated for Think, so yeah. I was already in the Think camp, and then Joel kind of introduced me to Miner and those dudes. But I mean, talk about like artistic, like everybody involved so far that you mentioned, like you mentioned Gaberman, you mentioned Minor, you mentioned Jaya, Sen. These are all artistic people that like rip on a skateboard, but like they look at life in an artistic way. And they're really special, right? It's like these are all unique people. Gaberman's one of the best photographers, straight up, and Miner's one of the best filmers, straight up. Manzuri's one of the best filmers, straight up. Like, you know what I mean? It's like Chris Sen was Skater of the Year, John Cardiel was Skater of the Year. Like, there's all this amazing talent in this group that you're hanging out with. Like, do you feel that, or is this just like, I don't know any different, so this is the norm?
It was the norm. It really was.
It's so crazy because, you know.
It was. We didn't trust it. We're all such freaks, really, freaks of the scene, you know?
Mm.
It was that was just what was going down. And so we were just, that was life.
Did you work on a project with Dolinsky? Did you get like an interview in the mag or anything that like you actually went out and tried to like put together something?
It was one-off things. So I never got a full interview, but I got like a small interview, one page. I think it was Slap. And then they would do those like introduction, like someone new to the scene. Mm. It was like little, I forget what it was called. They called it, but I got one of those
like hot shoes or something.
Something. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And Toad, are you in the picture yet? Do you guys know each other? Well,
I would go. Yeah. I mean, we were always hanging out or whatever, but like when Hans would come to the city, I lived in the Sunset District when Chris and Rico lived together.
Mm.
So I'd go down there a lot and hang out. I wasn't on a lot of these sessions or anything though. I was kind of going to school and stuff and doing my thing. But I would try to link up as much as I could. I loved hanging out with everybody, the crew, because I moved to the city before everybody. And then I moved when I was in high school, and like, I got torn away from my crew. You know, I was just like, fuck, like I didn't have a crew anymore. So I'd go to Embarcadero and try to hang out. And I was just like, I just always felt like I was this country kid that just didn't really kind of totally fit, but I like forged it a little bit and like became friends with like some of those dudes. I feel like I know Chico now because of that, or like, you know, some of those people where I can say a friendly hello. But then like once everyone moved down, like 2 years later, I was like, oh, my crew's here. Like I'm going to go hang out with my crew now, you know, like,
yeah,
it was pretty amazing. I was so hyped that everyone moved down, because I was like, it was a little weird. It was definitely not, I don't know. It's hard to fit in when you're like a block trying to fit into a round hole, you know? You're like, that's not
right.
I'm like, totally.
What do you remember as being some of the regular spots? Like, did you have regular spots, or would you try to just skate new spots all the time? Like, would you start at like, let's say Miley or EMB or somewhere and then take it from there? Or like, what do you remember about spots?
It was wide open SF, man. We would just go skate everything. Absolutely everything. I mean, later on, in the later years when I moved there, at the Adrenaline House, 197 Dubose.
Right.
Toad and I were starting to like have maybe a little bit of a routine, like Clipper and certain stuff. But back then we were just starstruck by being in the city and like, let's go here, let's go there, let's just go everywhere. It was just awesome.
For sure.
I was always just inspired by Tommy Guerrero back then, right? I mean, we'd see those old PAL videos, and I think we were just trying to find that. We're like
take
trying to
the
find
best
where
to the
Tommy
top and then bomb down.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And we were trying to find those streets where Tommy was skating, you know? We're like, where are those things? Where are they? All the things go down the hill. We're trying to find all the
Yeah. Did you ever see Tommy in the wild?
A couple times. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
Do you remember kind of early on? I mean, to me, I always say this, like, and Tommy tells me to shut up, but like, Tommy's Tommy. Like, for me, he's Tommy Guerrero. He's like San Francisco street skater that inspired all of Northern California and probably way more people, like Trujillo and all these people that were on the East Coast that came to San Francisco. Why'd they come? Because they saw the hills in the mag and they saw Tommy's pal part straight up.
Yeah.
You know?
That's beautiful.
So to me, Tommy needs to be in the conversation when you talk about Nadas and Gons and the early street skaters. Like Tommy is fucking, he's for me, because it's San Francisco and I take pride in this area. Like Tommy's our guy.
Yes, I'm with you. Right, I love Dan. And I just freaked out about Animal Chin movie. But Tommy Guerrero's part is what translated, because those big ramps, man, that was just, you know, in the early, late 80s or whatever, when vert was starting to become less of the focus point.
Mm.
You just, it wouldn't translate to, like, you know, those things weren't around to ride, and I didn't see any pros really, you know, riding those things, but like SF was always there. And the hills, and you could see like that's what he was doing, like Toad was saying, the bump.
You mentioned moving into the house in the city, like living in the city for the first time and coming into a house and you're with like all your peers at the same time. That's got to be kind of the golden era, right? Like super special to be like, oh, I'm rooming with Strubing and like I'm right here in the heart of the city, like probably, yeah. Epic times.
It was absolutely it. What happened was I was living in Santa Rosa and then and we were all living in the same place together too, but I all of a sudden was just spending all my time in SF. Mm-hmm. Kind of like how, and so I just ended up moving down there and then once you're in the city, that can be your whole world. Like, you don't even go out of the city for years sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I know.
So, like, I would still go visit Santa Rosa, but it was like, I was just the city, the Bay Area, all that.
So, who was the crew when you moved into that house? Who all lived there?
Kid Erickson. Yeah. And then Diego was the non-skater.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it was Jaya and Kit. And then I'm not sure exactly when Justin moved in or if he was already there. Actually, I don't even remember that. It all just kind of started.
Uh-huh. Blending in. Strubian said to ask you about some guy that was running from the cops, jumping roof to roof. If you remember that.
God. Yeah. That was nuts, dude. He jumped the gnarliest roof gap that was absolutely death drop. I mean, if he didn't clear it, he would have died. And so I was sitting up there on the roof and I was like having coffee or something with my girlfriend at the time. And the roof was kind of our kick it spot. And all of a sudden, and there was a lower part of the roof that was the back steps outside the back, so there was like a roof over those steps that was lower than the main building, and this dude just pops up and walks over that thing, and he's like, and I was like, what the heck, dude, like did he just fly here or whatever? And and he asked if he could use the door and get out of there. And I knew that something, that this dude was like running from the cops or something. And he was definitely no threat to me. So I was like, heck yeah, dude, I'll help you with the door. Let's get you out of here.
Oh, man.
So we let him out of the door. And then it's just SFPD, dude, just rushing the scene. They're asking us where he went. And I was like, I think he went down there. It was gnarly. None of us knew what he did or what happened.
That's amazing. The other thing that Struby mentioned was, I think Toad was a part of this too. Like, you guys had a 2-month tour to Europe.
Yes.
Talk about that. It sounded like an insane time where it kind of started off like a struggle and maybe a little difficult, but turned into a real memorable, maybe time where you guys all bonded a lot.
Yeah, I guess it was like our own little personal hell ride. Like, it was, I forget what we called it, but yeah, it did start off struggle and tough. And then I think we just embraced it, dude. And we all like, we were super young, but we grew as much of our beards as we could. And none of us cut our hair. And then the dirty clothes was just like, yeah, man, dirty clothes and just sleeping wherever. And Joe Pino.
Dude, Joe Pino
crushed. He was with you?
He was with us, dude. He fucking crushed it, dude. He's so sick.
Well, why was he with you? Was he on adrenaline?
No, he was on Good Times.
Oh, okay.
This was after Left Think.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how that all happened. I wasn't totally... I got on adrenaline like right after, like right when it, like a month later it left Think.
Okay. So when you were a part of it, it was kind of like on the new era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's when that trip was though?
Yeah. With the new era. Yeah. Good Time Skateboards, I think. Right. Greg Witt.
Oh yeah. Greg Witt. Okay. Yeah. I know Greg.
Yeah. Yeah. He hooked up that whole trip. He lined the whole thing up and like, he was basically like, all you got to do is get your plane ticket. We've got the 2 months all planned out for you. Except for it was pretty sketchy, but it was.
You guys went to like some summer solstice party, like right out of the gates. He's like, we took a train into Hamburg and then we just put like all our stuff into lockers. And then like,
whoa. I think that was like halfway through the trip or something.
Okay. Interesting. He also said that was the first time maybe anybody from over here had seen Arto Sari. And he was just like,
dude, I was there.
Yeah.
I was part of the first dude in the first photo of Arto in a magazine. He's riding a Hansi Driscoll adrenaline board because I gave it to him. I walked up to him and I told him, hey, you could ride for us, man. You could do this. And then I just watched his interview recently and comes to find out that he didn't know anything that I was saying.
He didn't know English. Yeah, he didn't know any English.
No, no way.
I was like, dude, nodded his head. He was into it, dude. And
if he spoke English, it could have been a different story.
He was so sick, dude. He was like 16 and he was light years ahead. It was like, we were like, whoa. We were in Denmark, right? Copenhagen at that contest.
Yeah. Oh, that was and Copenhagen?
We all were just like, who is this golden child? Like, he was a freaking golden child. We're like, oh my God, this guy's fucking incredible.
Right.
And it looked like he was learning as he was skating the street course. He was like learning tricks as he was. It was insane. It was really weird to watch. Like, and then by the time he got to that last contest and he almost won the last contest, like beat everybody. Like, it was just like, holy shit.
Holy shit.
These contests are the World Cup, Switzerland, Kostin, Willie Santos, best skateboarders in the world.
Brian and Anderson.
Guy that shows up. This little kid, and he can just everything, dude. And I mean, he was just like ollieing the biggest pyramid to front board slide down the...
Oh, dude, I Joe Pino called me a couple months ago, actually. And he was, speaking of this trip, we're in this town. Remember Regensburg, Hans?
Where we hiked the mountain?
No, I think that was Regensburg was in Germany. And we remember the. So he was asking me. He's like, "Dude, did this really happen? I can't remember." And he was like, he wanted to remember if maybe you can clear it up. And but he said that. I mean, I remember part of this. We were like, we were drinking a lot, and I think the guy medicine distribution was taking care of us at the time, and they were like, we were eating dinner with them, and Hansi sees the fish tank And he's like, dude, we gotta set that fish free. And there was like a river, like the Rhine River was right outside the door, like right there. I think it was the Rhine, I'm pretty sure. But I was like, we gotta let the fish go. We gotta set him free. And like Hansi goes in, gets his glass, gets the fish, and like, dude, I don't know. We were like partying pretty hard. I think someone like threw up on the table or something, and like Hansi grabbed the fish with this other dude, this German dude who was like some German ripper kid that like was just a rager kid. He was just awesome. And like, they're getting the fish. There's stuff going on over here. Someone's puking. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, we like get kicked out of there. And then supposedly Hansi lets the fish go. I can't remember because we all split up, I think, at that point, because we kind of like got out. Now, this is what Joe was asking me. Then supposedly it was in the newspaper the next day.
Oh my God. Oh. Yes.
And Joe's like, do you remember? It was in the newspaper. And I'm like, I don't know. That sounds insane. Sounds about right. Like for that trip. Yeah. But like,
Struben was mentioning mushroom tea. So who knows?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't think I had any mushroom tea, but
I tried pot.
Yeah, there was so much going on that just crazy shit like that was happening a lot, you know?
I think Jessie Van Rookout was even with us at that point. She like randomly was on the trip with us for a little bit.
Oh, rad. I love Jessie.
Yeah.
She's always cool.
She might be able to, concur with that to see, like, I don't remember exactly everything, but Joe, like, I totally forgot about it. And Joe was like, hey, did this really happen? I can't remember.
Yeah,
it was funny.
Honestly, barely remember that.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's why I like having these conversations, because so many times people have jarred my memory with something that I was like, holy shit, I forgot all about that. And then like the minute they kind of put a little pepper on there, you're like, oh yeah. And then you add to it. And it's like amazing how your memory can work.
And then Hansi made the sick journal on that trip. So like, it was like, none of us had money. So we would just like try to raise money to buy Polaroid film for Hans's journal.
Okay. A whole journal with Polaroid pictures.
Yeah. And he was just working on it constantly. Like, it was just insane. It was super inspiring to watch. And like, and we did like something like 28 demos in like 35 days or something. It was kind of crazy.
And
there wasn't usually a lot of people at the demos either. It was just kind of like, we had to do it though. Greg Witt had lined it all up and was like, this is what you guys got to do.
Wow.
And then the last 4 weeks of the trip, we were doing the contest circuit, which was like, we had to follow the contests around. And then every weekend was a contest.
Mm.
Is there a photo of Arto in there, Toad?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I have Hansi's journal because there's a bunch of photos of Arto in there.
Yes.
Damn, that's so cool, man.
I got to find it. It's actually not too far from me right now. It's somewhere back in this little back zone over here.
I'm so stoked you kept it, man. Thank you.
I got to get it back to you or something.
Okay, I think that the energy's cleared out for me.
The timing's good. That's good.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Head on over to your local shop and ask for Blood Wizard. If they're out, then you can tickety-tack on down to bloodwizard.com, where you have all of your conjuring needs.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talking Schmidt.
You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get notifications every Tuesday of new episodes the minute they become available. Also, please leave reviews and a 5-star rating. It's the best way to help the show grow. All of the episodes will always remain free, but if you would like to help support the show, you can do so at talkingschmidt.com, where you can pick up some merchandise like t-shirts, beanies, hats, and stickers. The website has an entire archive of all of the episodes, with extra photos and videos. Email us with any suggestions, comments, or ways that the show may have improved your life at talkingschmidt@gmail.com. All interviews are conducted, edited, and produced by Schmitty. The intro music is Mary's Cross by the band Nature. A very special shout out goes to the executive director, Cheryl Camisa.
Shout out.
Love it!
This is Talking Schmidt, where the Rolodex is deep, but the conversation is deeper.
Keep the wheels greased.